Seeking the Lord's gracious help, I would direct your prayerful attention this evening to Psalm 23 and verse 1. Psalm 23 and verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We have in the Word of God many wonderful examples of the faith of God's people. That faith that was given them often in very difficult and unusual circumstances. And I want to just name three of them as we begin this evening. Firstly, in the book of Job, the 19th chapter, and reading from verse 25. And you know how Job lost his children. He lost his revenue by the beasts that he had being taken. He lost his health, and his friends were no help to him. This dear man was greatly cast down, but he makes this statement: "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my string worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me." What a wonderful statement of faith. But he believes all those hundreds of years before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Messiah. And then in the book of Jonah, Jonah is found in the belly of this great fish, the reeds are wrapped around his head. And he says, "When my soul fainted within me, I remember the Lord." And this shows a man of God who believes in his God and has no doubts, even though his life is in great peril. "And my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." And then thirdly, in the book of Habakkuk, in the third chapter, we have that wonderful prayer of Habakkuk, concluding with these words. And they are remarkable words. Great faith again, expressed and experienced by a man of God. "Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls." A solemn time, a time when everything seems to be perishing. But he goes on to say, nevertheless, we might say, "I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." I mention these experiences because we have one like it tonight. It is a Psalm of David, and it's David's great confidence in the Lord his God. And here is the words and the voice of one of God's elect people, one that was chosen in Christ before the world began, one who has been brought to faith in God, and his confidence is great. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Firstly, I want to speak of these first two words, the Lord, the Lord. Just direct you to the fifth verse of this psalm, and the close of that verse where it says, thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Very simple illustration. If we take a cup and pour water into it, it fills up, and if we keep pouring, it overflows. But what are we to understand by the cup? And I believe there are two things that we need to consider, although in one sense the two are one. Firstly, it is the cup of God's wrath, the cup of God's wrath against sin. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And unless we keep the law perfectly, we must die. God will not look upon transgression and accept the person. But for this cause, God sent his only beloved Son into the world to save men and women, to save his chosen people, to save those whom Christ had loved with an everlasting love. And therefore, he will desire to draw them unto himself. And so the Lord Jesus Christ takes up the cup of God's wrath and drinks it to the very dregs. The psalmist says in another place, the Lord giveth me the cup of salvation. So we see, firstly, the cup of God's wrath, and then secondly, that cup being emptied, the cup of God's salvation. And that salvation is poured out upon the Lord's people in the grace that is given unto them. The Lord. How vital it is that we know this Lord to be our Lord. This God to be our God, both now and forevermore. There are those today who would recognize these words, the Lord, and in a way think that they do him service. They have a fleeting view of Christ as their Lord. They assume upon the grounds of their own condition and their own works that God will receive them. But it is very clear as we read through the Gospels that that is not the case, because there were no greater keepers of the law in a natural respect than the Pharisees. They adhered minutely to the law, although they added unto that law, and the law was to them a tradition. It was a law that was written in their heads, but sadly it found no place in their hearts. To them it was a legal requirement that they thought that they could fulfill in their own strength, but soon came to realize that they had no fear of God in their hearts. For the Lord Jesus Christ points out very clearly that the grace of God was not in them. How we need then that sweet confirmation that we are the Lord's, that he has chosen us that we are called by his name, that we are the plant of the Lord's right hand planting, that we are those whom he foresaw in eternity past and would in the fullness of time come and deliver us from our sins. We have that in the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John that we read together concerning the Lord accepting his people. And he shows unto these Jews that they are not his people, but those that are his people rise up and they follow him. Now, the psalmist says, the Lord is my shepherd. There is no doubts here. It is a statement of absolute faith. He believed in the Lord, and he believed the Lord to be his great shepherd. And so we need to understand the relationship between the shepherd and the sheep. Are we the sheep of Christ's fold? The Bible often speaks of sheep and of goats. The sheep that are Christ, the goats which belong to the devil. Well, who do we belong to? Who is shepherding our lives? Who is the one to whom we look? Who is the one whom we follow? The Lord says, that a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Then let us consider that if we are the sheep, then we hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. And it is the only voice that we will recognize. We live in days when there are many voices that are speaking. Sadly, the churches are replete with many that know not the Lord Jesus Christ, many preachers that preach themselves rather than Christ Jesus the Lord. And how then can the people there under their words recognize the voice of the shepherd? They cannot understand that voice, so it speak to them. But the Lord's people want to hear nothing but that which promotes and sets forth and exhorts the great shepherd of the sheep. And Christ has said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd taketh care of the sheep. We might just consider those words at the beginning of John 10. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. There is only one way then. There's only one way to come into the fold of Christ. If ever my poor soul be saved, 'tis Christ must be the way. All other ways lead astray. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. So Christ is there setting forth himself as the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter, the Holy Spirit, openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. So we have to ask ourselves, have we heard the voice of the shepherd. It says, my sheep hear my voice. It is a distinctive voice. We can often tell one another whom we know and love by their voices. They are distinctive to us. We know them, we understand them. And when they speak to us, although we may not be able to see them, we know it is them because we know their voice. Blessed are the people that hear the joyful sound. What is that joyful sound? It is the shepherd calling his sheep, calling them unto himself. And if we hear that voice, there will be a response to it. We cannot but respond to the voice, the lovely voice of our Good Shepherd. We hear his voice, we hear that call. That call comes unto us. And we have those lovely words in the Song of Solomon, where the bride is called. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of the birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in the land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a goodly smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. The appointed time rolls on apace, not to propose, but call by grace, to change the heart, renew the will, and set the feet to Zion's heel. If we are not of Christ's sheep, then we will never hear that voice. For as we read, he calls his own sheep. And these sheep are known to him. He calls them by name. Now, if you're in a crowd of people and someone calls your name, immediately you respond to that call. For your name is distinctive. It is distinctive to yourself. And if someone would call your full name, then you know that you are the one that is being identified. Again, in this, we may consider the case of Samuel as a boy, a young boy in the courts of the temple, there laying upon his bed, and a voice comes to him. Now, he doesn't know the voice. He's not heard the voice before. And so he considers the only person that would call him would be Eli. And so he runs to Eli and says, you called me. And of course, Eli did not call him. And so he tells him to go back to bed. And this comes a second time. And again, we have the same condition that he runs to Eli. And again, he's told. But the third time, Samuel knows who the voice is. He knows that it's the voice of the Lord God. And he says, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Now, how do we hear the voice of the shepherd? And again, we fail so often to repeat ourselves, but they're good repetitions. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And sometimes we may get a touch. Sometimes we may feel a warmth in our heart that the words seem to come to us and we have a response in our hearts toward them. We feel well toward them. Perhaps we don't identify that it's the Lord speaking unto us. And that voice comes a second time, because the Lord is determined to save his people. He will call them out of nature's darkness into his most marvelous light. And so upon that first call, although there is no knowing response in the heart, yet the heart is somewhat softened. There is a tenderness felt in the very feeling of that call. And so when the call comes again, there is the same feeling, there is the same warmth of heart, there is a response in the heart toward the word of God. It begins to make an impression upon us. We begin to understand that this word is coming to us. And however many times the Lord is pleased to call, and the Lord is sovereign in all his ways, there will come a time when the voice comes so powerfully, you'll be able to say with the hymn writer, "Hark, my soul, it is the Lord. 'Tis my Saviour, hear his voice. Jesus speaks and speaks to me. Say, poor sinner, lovest thou me?" And there is that wells up within the heart, a feeling of great love toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is no doubt at that moment, but you love the Lord in sincerity and in truth. And your desire is now toward him as it wasn't before. Now you begin to respond to these scriptures. Now they have a greater meaning to your own case. Now they are personal, precisely to you. And there comes a time when, as in the Song of Solomon, a time to rise up and to follow him. It is an appointed time. Let us remember that the Lord never is before his time, and yet he never is too late. Well, where do we stand this evening? We may feel to be such wretched, damnable creatures. We may feel to be so far from God as sheep can run. But can we say we have no desire for the Lord Jesus Christ? Can we say that we can turn our backs upon him and walk with him no more? You know, we have that account of those that are termed in the Word of God disciples, who had followed the Lord Jesus Christ thus far. But when he began to speak deep doctrine concerning his own body and blood, they were offended. And we read that they walked no more with him. How exceedingly solemn to come under the sound of the truth and then to come to a point in your life that the scriptures seem to have no impression upon you, and you don't understand them, and you turn your back upon these scriptures and you attend no more. Now, that cannot happen to the sheep of Christ's fold. They must and they will hear the voice of the great shepherd, the shepherd speaking unto them the truths which resonate upon their very hearts and upon their spirits. And there is that discernment given to understand what is truth. Many of the dear Lord's people are not able to enter into deep doctrine, are not able to debate the truths of God's word. But, you know, they know what they believe. They have a simple faith, and yet in reality, it's a profound faith, a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, which no man can ever erase. You know, in the times, in earlier days, when there was true persecution, there were simple souls who perhaps had not the education, not the understanding of many deep things, but they knew in whom they believed. And although they were pressed upon it, and pressed even unto death, yet they could not terminate their faith. They would rather lay down their life than give up their faith in Christ. Now, grace is given, of course, in the hour of need. And when that need comes, the Lord gives unto his sheep a courage, a boldness to withstand all that is evil. The Lord is my shepherd. The shepherd then cares much for the sheep. And we read in the Word of God, he careth for you. He careth for you. And what a mercy it is. You know, we may have loved ones that care for us, mothers, husbands, wives, children, whoever they may be, who care for us, and we greatly appreciate that care. But those loved ones may depart. They may depart. The child may get married and move away. A brother or sister may also depart from the family home. A parent may die. A husband or wife might die. And that comfort is now gone. That natural comfort that we enjoyed is now no longer. But if we have a shepherd, or rather I should say, if we have the shepherd, the great shepherd of the sheep, we have one who ever cares for us. Now, in this short psalm, we have something of that comfort giving. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. The shepherd's work is to look after his sheep. And of course, David would have known much of this. You will remember in his boyhood that he kept his father's sheep. He took them to various places where they could lie down in peace and safety. He brought them to pastures where they could be fed. He brought them to streams where they could drink, and he watched over them. And when the lion and the bear came to attack them, David took up against both the lion and the bear and protected his flock because he was a good shepherd. Well, David was but a man. The Lord Jesus Christ is eternally God, and he cares much for his sheep. Is he going to allow his sheep to perish at the hands of the lion or the bear? And of course not. We have one greater than David who takes care of us. And what a great comfort it is that we have a shepherd to whom we can go. You know, the shepherd calls us to himself. We don't of our own volition go to the shepherd until we are called into his company. So the natural man will never come to Christ. He will never who seek out the Lord Jesus. But when that call comes, when we respond to the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, when Christ is made precious to our souls, when we see him as our great protector and defender, the one who provides for all our needs so that we lack nothing, then we know that relationship which can never be broken, who said, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the ends of the earth." The Lord is my shepherd. But I think I've said on a previous occasion, sheep are apt to wander. They are apt to get lost and to bring themselves into great danger. And the child of God sometimes backslides. We see that even in the best of characters in the Word of God, even David himself. And so the sheep are apt to leave the fold and wander off. And who knows what manner of mischief they may get up to. But you know, the good shepherd, he goes after his sheep. He doesn't say, "I've got 99 in the fold, the 100th doesn't matter." Every single sheep, the strongest and the weakest, the best and the worst, in that sense, he cares for. And it is his will, his sovereign will, a will that can never be overturned, that all the sheep that he has chosen be found in his one fold. What a mercy then, if we fall into sin. And let us quickly say, shall I continue in sin that grace may abound? Emphatically, God forbid. No, we cannot continue in sin. But we do sin, sadly. We are fallen creatures. We still have an old nature. That old nature sometimes gets the better of us and we depart from God. But God goes after his sheep. He brings them back. It may be a long journey. It may be an arduous journey. It may be a difficult journey. But not one will ever be lost. Once in Christ forever. Thus the eternal covenant stands. What a mercy to know, because Christ calls us and Christ delivers us, then we are his. We are his precious objects. We are precious in his sight. And he will not let one of his precious ones depart from him forever. There will be a time when they have to come back. And we're thankful that we read of these things in the scriptures, especially when we know of those that were once very loyal to the church, once very arduous in their religion, who now have departed. Something has attracted them and they've gone away. Well, what a mercy if they are the Lord's, they will certainly be brought back. That time will come when they will have to return. And when they return, it will be in all deep humility, knowing that they have sinned against God, against heaven. And therefore, they will feel their utter unworthiness. The Lord is my shepherd. Though sometimes the sheep get injured. Sometimes sheep get diseases. You know, we're all prone in this world of sin. Oh, what sin brought into this world. The death and sorrow and pain and guilt. All manner of things came in when Adam fell. And so sometimes the sheep of Christ's fold are found in this condition when they're injured or sick. Some are afflicted. Some have great sicknesses come upon them, perhaps suddenly, perhaps over a period of time. But nevertheless, these things are real to them. They feel the pain, the discomfort, the annoyance of them. But the shepherd cares for his sheep. Let us never think that if we come into such times as trouble or sickness or sorrow or whatever it may be, that it's because the Lord is against us. If Christ be for us, who or what can be against us? And Christ is ever for his sheep. The Lord is my shepherd. The shepherd cares, I say, much for his sheep. He speaks of the false shepherds. The Lord has raised up under shepherds to care for his sheep, to provide for them the food of the gospel of his grace. But there are those that are false. And when the wolf cometh, they're described here as hirelings and not the shepherd, whose own sheep they are not, sees the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. A hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. What a sad day in which we live, when there are so many who are but hirelings. They were never called by God to preach the gospel. They never knew the grace of God in their own hearts, so how could they preach it unto others? And other things attracted them. It may have seemed a better work to do than other employments, or it might have been financially more profitable to them to take up religion, and therefore they became ministers, but they're false ministers. Now the sheep have a discernment. They're able to detect the false shepherd, and they keep far away from that false shepherd. They want a good shepherd. They want one who honours and respects the chief shepherd, the great shepherd of the sheep, one that does his bidding and seeks to work his work. I think we referred recently to the sheep as silly sheep, and in many respects we are. But there is one respect in which we are not silly, and that is someone tries to bring a false gospel to us, we're able to withstand that one. We don't want a false gospel, we want a true gospel. We want to know the truth and not be fed with error. The Lord is my shepherd. There is then a relationship between the shepherd and the sheep. And as in all relationships, it grows. It grows naturally between a man and a woman who begin to be attracted to one another. They begin to court one another, and then they get engaged, and then they get married. And over the years, they get to know each other more and more. So it is in real religion. The apostles speak of those that are babes in Christ, those that are youths and maidens, and those that are fathers and mothers, that those that are in old age. About all these are the Lord's sheep. and they follow the Lord Jesus Christ whithersoever he goeth. As he said, my sheep follow me. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And so we can only follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can only follow as the scriptures set him forth. And as the scriptures are preached to us, that Christ is exalted among us, that Christ is seen as the way, the truth, and the life. And he is the only way to God. He's the only way to heaven. He's the only way to peace. He's the only way to prosperity. Man looks for prosperity in this world, but our treasure is bound up in heaven, where Christ has gone as a forerunner. My sheep follow me, and they shall follow him throughout life's journey. They tread in the footsteps of the flock. They follow Christ whithersoever he leads them. And he leads them home to glory at last. They follow him right into heaven itself, there to be forever with the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not want. And let me just refer you once again to verse 5. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. The Lord will provide. I shall not want. The Lord gives grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. No good thing. Now, we don't always understand, like children, don't always understand what's best for them. Neither do we always understand what's best for us. Sometimes the way seems diverse to the way that we want to go. And perhaps we rebel to a certain extent in going in that direction. Every good gift comes from God. And the Lord is able to give all sufficient grace to answer all our needs. He will give grace. He does give grace. And he gives grace when it is most needed. You know, we want the good things of God, but we don't want the troubles. We don't want difficulties to come into our lives. But if this is the ordained way that the Lord has chosen to lead us, then it is the way that we have to go. We have to follow him in which whatever way he would have us to go. And the way sometimes is tough. Bunyan speaks of hill difficulty. There are those obstacles that are laid in the course. Paul speaks of the runner in the race, in the obstacle race. He has to overcome these obstacles. But it is in this way that we find that the Lord provides. He provides that help when help is needed. He provides strength, made perfect in our weakness. He provides to meet all our many needs here below. By every need, he richly will supply, says Gadsby, quoting from the Word of God. And whatever we stand in need of, I shall not want. Sometimes, you know, we want things that are not profitable to us. And a gracious God withholds them from us. And we may feel a bit churlish because of it. That if we want a thing sufficiently, We feel determined that we're going to get it. But if the Lord refuses that thing to us, then how hard it becomes. But then we live to learn to prove by experience that what we wanted wasn't the best for us. The Lord knows best, and He knows which way to lead us to supply our every need. I shall not want. And think of it in this way. I shall not want one to be my companion. I shall not want one to be my helper. I shall not want one to be my guide. I shall not want one to be my comforter. The Lord is everything to His people. And we have a throne of grace to which we are exhorted to come. Come boldly to the throne of grace, that ye may obtain mercy. And what? And find grace to help in every time of need. I shall not want. David knew what it was to have a difficult pathway. His wasn't all floating upon a cloud, as it were. He had troubles in his house. He had trouble with others, his enemies. All manner of troubles came into his life. But he can make this statement of fact in sweet assurance that the Lord has always supplied his needs. So sometimes we need to look back. What has the Lord done for us? Have we lacked anything? The children of Israel, when they went through the wilderness, at the end of the journey, Moses said to them, "Have ye lacked anything?" And they had to admit they had lacked nothing. And neither of you and I, we lack nothing. So can we not say that He who has supplied our need heretofore will supply it in the future? I have not wanted, therefore I shall not want. I shall not want for any good thing, for the Lord will supply my every need. What a mercy then. Can we make a statement like this? A statement of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Now, if the Lord is our shepherd, we shall never want anything in this life, and we shall have a redundance in the life that is to come. What a sweet assurance it is to know that Christ is the shepherd of his sheep. The sheep hear his voice, the sheep follow him, and the shepherd looks after the sheep all their days. And at last, He brings them to glory, that glory that awaits all the sheep of Christ's fold. Then we would not want, surely, to go to another fold. We would not want, surely, another shepherd. Do we not find a fullness in Christ, a fullness that answers all our needs and shall answer them all our days here below, and then through a never-ending eternity? These are words of wonderful faith. They are the words of the faith of God's elect people. If Christ is ours, then these are our words. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Sometimes, sadly, we feel that we cannot say these words. We feel to be far off. We feel hard-hearted. We feel unbelieving. But I believe every true child of God will at length be able to say this: the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Amen.